مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, I welcome you back to our program in which we listen to the biography, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. No doubt there are many virtues in sending and reciting the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He himself says that the one to be the closest to me on the day of judgment shall be he who recites the most durood upon me in this world. This time, brothers, let's make it a habit to send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam a minimum of 313 times each and every single day, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, previously we spoke from the beginning about the birth of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that even before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet's father, Hazrat Abdullah, had passed away. At the age of 6, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu anha, had passed away. At the age of 8, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu, had passed away. They married at the age of 25. At the age of 40, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation. Now, subsequent to the revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to propagate the religion of Islam, to invite people towards Islam. So for the next 3 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited people secretly. And then he openly began to invite the people. And he said that 5 years approximately after the first revelation is when, upon having been subjected to so much difficulty, torture, upon having been beaten brutally by the Quraysh, by the non-Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said to the Muslims in regards to migrating to Ethiopia or Abyssinia as it was known at that time. As we also mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was, mazallah, even subjected to being beaten and even being cursed, mazallah, and the insides of animals, you know, the leftover of the animals being, mazallah, placed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his salah. Similarly, it has been mentioned that whenever people would be traveling, the pilgrims would be coming to perform their pilgrimage, people like Abu Lahab, people like Abu Jahl, they would state that this person, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is, mazallah, that he's majnoon, he's a crazy person, astaghfirullahul azim. And these are the lies they would perpetuate against the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. These people try to do everything within their power to, mazallah, stop the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, yet they could not kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember why? Because one reason, no doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was protecting the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Another is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was yet under the protection of his uncle, who was the chief of the Banu Hashim, known as Abu Talib. Now, it is said that once an individual by the name of Utbah ibn Rabi'a, that this was another one of those individuals who was, yes, he was a nobleman, he was considered a nobleman amongst the Quraysh, and he was also a wise man. Now, Utbah ibn Rabi'a, he was a non-Muslim, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or once when referring to him, mentioned him to be a wise man. It is mentioned in the battle of Badr, which shall soon come, inshallah, that Utbah ibn Rabi'ah was on a red camel. And he was telling the people, do not go to fight the Muslims, whilst the army was coming to the Muslims. And he was kept on saying to the people that if you are going to be fighting him, either you shall defeat him. If you shall defeat him, then what honor is there in defeating your own brother? And if he is to overpower you, then you have been beaten by your own brother also. So what honor is there in this battle? Do not fight him. And the Prophet ﷺ, seeing him from a distance, no doubt the companions, they couldn't hear what Utbah was saying. But yet the Prophet ﷺ said that if the Quraysh had any sense, then they shall listen, then they should take heed to the advice of the wise man on the red camel. And this was Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Now Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he was also an enemy of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is said that he once said to the Quraysh, he said that you have tried so many things to stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but have you actually approached him to try to speak to him? And they said no. So he said, okay then, why don't I go on your behalf and speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he said that, you know, he offered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many things. He said that, O Muhammad, if it is that you are Mazallah, you are mentally ill, then we can provide you with a doctor. If it's the case that you desire women, then we will give you whichever woman you wish, Mazallah. This is what they believe about the Prophet. And then he says that, oh Muhammad, if you require power, then we shall make you a king. Now, my dear brothers and viewers of Madinah, inshallah, you need to understand that the Meccan people, the Quraysh especially, they had no king. Why? Because they were all too proud of being the chieftains of their own tribes, and they were all, you could say, power hungry, that none of them would accept one king to unite, or none of them would unite under one king. Yet they were so desperate now that he offered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a king. He says, if you wish for money, then we shall make you the most rich person or the wealthiest person from amongst all of the Arabs. Yet no doubt the Prophet ﷺ was not doing this for power. The Prophet ﷺ was not doing this for money. The Prophet ﷺ was not doing this for any woman. And neither was the greatest of mankind, ﷺ, crazy. My dear Islamic brothers, the Prophet ﷺ, it is said that he remained silent at this time. And then Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he continued and he continued to say such things such as, and what about your elderly? What about your grandparents? The grandparents of the Prophet ﷺ were no doubt Muslims. But he would say that, you know, do you consider yourself to be better than people like Abu Talib, to be better than your father? So he would use these sort of terms to, na'udhu billah, to try to bring the Prophet ﷺ off his message. But no doubt this was not possible. Upon his having completed his words, the Prophet ﷺ was just silent. And then he says, O Utbah, have you completed your speech now? May I speak? And Utbah says, yes. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he begins to recite the Holy Quran. It is said that the Prophet ﷺ was speaking about Ad and Thamud, those verses of the Quran. And Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he is sitting silent, he is listening. And then his face turns pale and he begins to become frightened. And then he stands and he begins to place his hand on the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please stop reciting. Please do not send this punishment upon us also. Meaning the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon Aad and Samud. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these people of Aad, the people of Samud, he says, please do not send this punishment upon us. And then he rushes back to the Quraysh and he says to the Quraysh, this is not a man you wish to be messing with. That Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just let him be. Whatever message he brings, let him be. Let him do whatever he wishes. That he has just recited such words which cannot be the words of any man. So, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, we need to understand that this was a time when Arabic literature language had reached its height, its peak. all of these individuals were poets, and upon hearing the Arabic of the Quran, you know, their hearts became inclined to it. They all understood that this could not be the words of any man or the words of any jinn. No doubt this was the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people continued to offer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They began to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, okay then, why don't we worship your God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one day? And the other day we shall worship our idols. So they began to try to reconciliate, but no doubt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not accept this. The verses of the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, were also revealed on this occasion. So this occurred between 3 years and 5 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had first begun to invite people towards Islam after the first revelation. And on the 5th year after the revelation, it has been stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then he recommended and he said that there is a just king in Abyssinia, today known as Ethiopia. That there is a just king in Abyssinia, go to that land. He shall protect you and allow you to practice your religion in peace. And it is said that 15 individuals had migrated to Abyssinia. Now, this is from Brothers and Views of Muslim Channel. This is a land far away from theirs. It is a land over the ocean. They had to leave their own homeland. This is a great deal. That the Muslims of that time, because they were suffering such persecution, they had to leave their own land. They were forced to leave their own land and to migrate to Ethiopia, to migrate to Abyssinia. And it is said that 15 individuals had migrated, because not everybody could migrate. Many people, as we had listened, were slaves. People as the Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu, about whom his owner, the slave owner, what she did, Ummi Anmar her name was, she had placed a sword in the furnace and then placed it on his back and tortured him like this. People like Hazrat Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, upon whom a boulder was placed on his back in the middle of a desert and he was forced to give up the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he did not. These individuals, they were slaves. If they were trying to run away, then they would be persecuted and they would even be killed. But 15 individuals, it has been mentioned, did travel. And I'm going to mention the names. Hopefully that you will, or so that inshallah these names will, upon regularly hearing them, inshallah you will begin to know who these individuals were over time. Because these same names who I will be mentioning now, they also play a great role, many of them, will play a great role in the history or during the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is said that the first individual to migrate was Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the third Khalifa. He was also the husband and he married the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So the first two individuals was one, Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan and his beloved wife and the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bibi Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Both of these two individuals were the first to migrate. And secondly, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu and his wife, Hazrat Sahla bint Suhail radiallahu anha, she also had migrated. So that's four individuals. Another two individuals that had migrated was Abu Salama and Ummi Salama radiallahu anhuma. Abu Salama, it has been mentioned that upon migrating, he then later passed away in Ethiopia. And Ummi Salama radiallahu anha, upon having been first exiled in a way from her land, having to leave from her land, and then living in Ethiopia, far away from the Muslims, and then her husband having passed away. And then, for this reason, upon having been, you know, stricken with the death of her husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had engaged her and offered to marry her, and then she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and becoming one of the Ummul Mu'mineen, the mothers of all the believers. Similarly, Amir ibn Rabi'a and his wife Hazrat Layla bint Abi Hashma radhiyallahu anhuma, they also migrated. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awam, Also, Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, upon whom we shall be hearing about in the Battle of Uhud when he was martyred. And similarly, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, one of those 10 individuals who was promised Jannah whilst being alive upon the earth. Similarly, Hazrat Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu, about whom we may hear today inshallah. And also, Hazrat Abu Sabra bin Abi Rahim, or Hazrat Hatib ibn Amr, and 15th Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about whom we heard that he was a Yemeni in actual fact, and he was beaten when he began to recite the Quran in front of the Quraysh. So these 15 individuals, they traveled to Ethiopia, they traveled to Abyssinia to live amongst the non-Muslims there, and they were granted the protection of the king there, who was a wise man, not only a wise man, but he was a just king. And it was during the time of Ramadan that the Prophet ﷺ recited in front of the whole of the Quraysh Surah Najm. And upon having recited Surah Najm, the ending ayat, a beautiful part of the Holy Quran, in the ending ayat, it is stated, and prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said, and this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, it is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, قَالَ سَجَدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ بِالنَّجْمِ, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam then performed the sajda upon the order of the Quran. And then وَسَجَدَ مَعَهُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَالْمُشْرِكُونَ وَالْجِنُّ وَالْإِنْسِ. And it is said that upon the prostration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, all of the Muslims, all of the mushriks, meaning the polytheists, all of the humans and the jinns who had heard this, they had also all prostrated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning even the non-Muslims had prostrated. And it is mentioned that there was one person who did not prostrate, Walid ibn Mughira, that individual, he lifted some soil or some dust from the ground and he placed it on his head and he said, this is sufficient as a prostration. But everybody prostrated, and from this it has been stated that rumors had spread to Ethiopia that the Quraysh have accepted Islam. So now, upon hearing this, the Muslims within Ethiopia, they were extremely happy that now we are able to go back to our land, we are able to travel back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then it is said that some of them had left Ethiopia to return to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and upon having returned, they understood that this was in fact just some lies, this was some rumors. In fact, the Quraysh had not accepted Islam, they had not accepted the religion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So now upon their return, when the Quraysh had heard that they had returned, it is said that again they had tried to take hold of these people and to beat them, and they did beat them in many different ways. Not all of them, only a few from those 15 had returned. One of those individuals who had returned went by the name of, as I have mentioned, Uthman ibn Maz'un. Now, Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is said that upon his return, that he was, at the time of ignorance, during the time, a good friend of Walid ibn Mughira, that person who was one of the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a good friend of his. So he went to him, he approached him, and he asked him for his protection. Because if you were to be protected by a tribe, then no other tribe can touch you, none of them can harm you. So Uthman ibn Maz'un, being a good friend of Walid ibn Mughira, he asked him for his protection, and Walid ibn Mughira said to him, okay, my nephew, I shall grant you protection. And so when he did grant him protection, Walid ibn Mughira, he called out in front of the people and he said that, oh people, oh Quraysh, listen, Uthman ibn Maz'un has my protection. Now he was the enemy of the Prophet, an enemy of the Muslims, yet due to his closeness or due to that friendship which he did possess for Uthman prior to Uthman becoming a Muslim, accepting Islam, he had granted him his protection. And it is said that Hazrat Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would live a normal life, And the people, the rest of the Muslims, they were persecuted, yet Hazrat Uthman was never harmed. And Hazrat Uthman ibn Maz'un, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, upon seeing the rest of the Muslims being tortured, being harmed, it has been stated that Hazrat Uthman, radiallahu anhu, that he felt bad. He felt bad. He thought to himself, the rest of the Muslims are being harmed, yet nothing is happening to me. So it is said that he approached Walid ibn Mughir and he said to him, you take back your protection. I do not want your protection no more. The rest of the Muslims are being harmed. I also wish to be harmed. I also wish to join the rest of the Muslims. Walid ibn Mughira, he was amazed, he was shocked. But he says, okay then, I will take back my protection and now you are no longer under my protection. It is said that he called out in front of the people, that all people of Quraysh, that Uthman ibn Maz'un is no longer under my protection. Now do whatever you wish to him, I shall not protect him. And it is said that a famous poet, now we need to understand that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I've mentioned, this was the peak of poetry. There were 7 individuals who were known to be the greatest of poets. 7. Most of them did not accept Islam. Many of them were before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these 7 poets had written what was known to be the Sab'a Mu'allaqat, meaning the 7 hanging poems. And it is said that they were written in gold and they were widely accepted by everybody and they were hung on top of the Kaaba. This is how much all of the Arabs had accepted and loved this poetry of these 7 individuals. One individual from amongst them was by the name of Labid. Now Labid, radhiyallahu anhu, he later accepted Islam. But at this time he was not a Muslim. So he was amongst the 7 most famous individuals amongst the Arabs. And the Quraysh, they had invited him for a festival. And then Labid, he began to recite his poetry. And he recited a few couplets, one couplet which was later quoted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also himself. He says, "Ala kullu shay'in ma khalallah ha batilun." That everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is batil, is useless. And Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu, upon having come across Labid who was reciting this poetry amongst the people, he says, "Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. You have spoken correctly." And Labid, he was amazed, but then he continued to recite his ash'ar and he began to say other things which were wrong, because at this time he was not a Muslim. And then it is said, Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu, he said, "No, you are telling a lie. This is incorrect." Now the people, upon seeing this, that he is speaking to our guest and he is saying you are wrong, he is offending our guest. It is said that somebody came and he struck him across the face such that his eye had possibly bled. And Walid ibn Mughira, upon hearing this, it said that he rushed to and he approached Hazrat Uthman ibn Maz'un radhiyallahu anhu and he says that, "Why do you not accept my protection? Why are you going through this pain, O my nephew?" And Hazrat Uthman ibn Maz'un, he says, "O my uncle," he says that, "I have been struck," and he says, "Alhamdulillah." He says, "I wish I could also be struck in my other eye." Subhanallah, this was his love for the religion. It is said that when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he arrived at a place known as Barkul Ghamad, he saw an individual by the name of Malik ibn Daghina. Now ibn Daghina was not from the Quraysh, he was from a tribe outside of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And when ibn Daghima saw Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he says to Abu Bakr Siddiq that, "Oh Abu Bakr, where is it you're going? Where are you traveling to?" Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he replies and he explains the situation. He says that in Makkah al-Mukarramah, there is a prophet by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have accepted his religion and now I am being persecuted, tormented and punished, subjected to torture by the non-Muslims. And so I must migrate to Ethiopia. Ibn Daghina, upon hearing this, he says, "Oh Abu Bakr, you out of all people, you are having to leave your own land?" He says, "This is not possible. This cannot be." He says, "Oh Abu Bakr, you come with me." I shall grant you my protection. That you shall be under my protection. As Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, being offered this, offered to go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live in the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, he accepts his offer of Ibn Daghina. And Ibn Daghina, he takes Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to Makkah al-Mukarramah and he calls out to the people, he says, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he is under my protection. That nobody can harm him, he's under my protection. And the Quraysh, they accept this with one condition. They say, okay, we accept this, but there's a condition that Abu Bakr Siddiq can only practice his religion within his own home. They can only practice, he can only recite the Quran within his own house. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he accepts this. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, who is now under the protection of Ibn Daghina, he goes back and he lives in his own home and he recites the Holy Quran. When he recites the Holy Quran, he recites it loudly. But then he thinks to himself that I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and the rest of the people, they are worshipping, and the other people, they are worshipping the idols. I must do something more. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he extends his own house and he makes some sort of porch or some sort of long garden. And within there, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he recites the Quran in his own beautiful melodious voice, and all of the people, they begin to listen to him, and people begin to gather around. And this brings more people towards the religion of Islam. The Quraysh, upon hearing this and upon seeing this, again they report to Ibn Daghina. They call out to him and they say, "Oh Ibn Daghina, Abu Bakr Siddiq is not allowed to recite the Quran loudly. Stop him, otherwise we will do something." So Ibn Daghina, upon having returned to Makkah al-Mukarramah, he speaks to Abu Bakr Siddiq. He says, "Oh Abu Bakr, there's only so much I can protect you. Please stop preaching the way you are, and then you shall be under my protection." Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he says, "You keep your protection. I do not require your protection. I have the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then it has been stated that he leaves the protection of Ibn Daghina and being protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. It is said that then again he is persecuted, he is punished by the people of the Quraysh. And inshallah azza wa jal, in the next episode we shall listen to more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For now, continue to send the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan. Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman.